This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
I'm Dave Detman, also known as Dr. Gadget. I've got a new podcast called The Big Idea. And every week, I talk to inventors and visionaries who made it big in their respective industries. We'll tackle weekly trending tech, provide inside tips for your success, and go deep dives on the latest and greatest innovations. And I know you're going to love this part. I'll also have plenty of free giveaways. Who doesn't love free stuff? So listen to and follow The Big Idea with me, Dr. Gadget, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We're going to talk about the dry ice blasting process, which I just had done on the Mustang. And Chris took a tour of Gabriel Iglesias' car collection, the great Fluffy. We'll hear that as well. Before we get started, here's Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Goldberg is out today. Obviously, there was a terrible incident in Texas, and Goldberg wanted to reach out and offer his support in his community. So he's doing that today, and maybe he'll have more information on it. But anyway, we've got some cool stuff to cover today. Some kind of interesting news on some of the Ford projects and things that are going on, but also I took the SAC Mustang over to Ice Blast Works and saw some of that process. So I'll get into that in a minute. But before we get started, I want to hit this on the Ford Bronco Raptor. We knew the Bronco Raptor was going to be coming out soon. It was announced for a while. We've seen all the images and stuff, but now the official numbers are coming in on this. And it has the 3-liter twin turbo V6, which we anticipated was basically the engine pulled from like the Explorer ST. And we were told north of 400 horsepower. So we were expecting a slight bump on that. And we pretty much got it. We got 418 horsepower in the Bronco Raptor and 440 pound feet of torque, which is good. It's impressive. Now, it pulls in at about 15 miles per gallon, so that's probably not the best that's out there. But I don't know, like, where are we compared to, I don't know, like the big Jeep, like the 392 Wrangler? I think that's a little bit more horsepower. I believe that one comes in at about 470. So we're getting pretty close to that. I think the Jeep is 470 horsepower and 470 pound-feet of torque. So, and the Ford's at 418 and 440. So interesting. It should be pretty cool. I guess they start shipping these in the summer. I'm not too familiar with the order process or the pricing or, you know, what was going on with this, if you were able to get an order in on this thing and how it's working. It's not, I don't know, maybe I'm just out of the loop on the Raptor ordering. I know it starts at $69,995. I've got the order in for the Ford Lightning, so they've been sort of communicating on when that's going to happen and when do they start building and what delays they're having and, you know, issues like that. So if anybody is getting a Bronco Raptor, I'm curious. Did you get some feedback? What did the final pricing come in at? What sort of time frame? Have you heard anything? By all means, hit me up on social media. I'm just curious about what's going on with that. I'm also pretty curious about the Corvette Z06. There's some dealers that are saying that they're taking orders, but I don't think Chevrolet has officially opened the books on that. So I'm not really sure how that's working. And I know GM said, you know, they're kind of frowning upon the crazy dealer markups. We saw on, I forgot what dealer it was, but it was all over social media that a dealer was, you know, saying, oh yeah, if you want it, we'll get it for you. And it's 100,000 over sticker. So I'm curious, is anybody have a real order in, or do you just have an order in with a dealer, or you're just waiting like the rest of us, just kind of waiting on that? I'm definitely going to have to check in with some people on that as well. So anyway, if anybody's got a real order, paperwork signed, and a price for a Z06, I'd love to hear about it. And same thing with the Bronco Raptor. I'd love to hear about it. I guess I'm also curious about the Ford F-150 Raptor R, if it's going to even be called the Raptor R. But as we understand it, there was some like build sheets leaked on that vehicle confirming the 5.2-liter supercharged V8 from the GT500 put into the Raptor, a bunch of other features and some upgrades and stuff to separate it from the Raptor we currently have. But I don't think the order books or anything have been opened on that either. So I am kind of curious what's going to go there, what's going to happen there. I don't really know what the pricing is on that yet. I mean, there's talk about it, but I'm curious to see if anybody's interested in that vehicle. If you are, by all means, let me know. It sounds impressive. Big horsepower. We're expecting around 750 horsepower and possibly of four-wheel steering and some other unique features to the vehicle. So, you know, I guess we'll see how that goes. The other thing I want to touch on was, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Toyota 4Runner, they have a 40th anniversary edition coming out, and they're making 4,040, right? So 4040 of these limited edition vehicles, and they've got the cool kind of stripe package on it. That's a little retro, little cool. I believe there's the stripe package you've seen is the red, orange, and yellow from the old TRD racing vehicles. We've seen a lot of the vintage racing cars and trucks. And I believe you can get the vehicle in a black, a red, or a white with this stripe package. And, you know, it looks pretty cool. There's no real engine changes or anything like that. They've got some, it's more of a trim package. But it does kind of stand out. It's kind of cool. Is it worth getting? Maybe. I don't know that it's going to be like a super expensive, extremely limited. You know, the stripe package and stuff is probably going to be fairly affordable. And 4,040, it's limited and it's cool, but it's not that limited. I don't know. 4,000 plus doesn't seem that limited. Otherwise, the 4Runner looks great. It's a 4-liter V6, 5-speed automatic. That seems a little antiquated to me, but in this day of 8, 9, 10 speeds. But anyway, if you guys are interested in sort of a retro 4Runner modern day, maybe you got something that it matches to at home, an older Toyota with the TRD, striping or livery on it. This could be kind of a cool piece. You know, and then one other thing I wanted to get into was Let's say you got your 911 at home and you got a project. It's maybe a 964 generation 911s, and you're looking to do something different. Well, there is a really cool Baja kit available. It's from a guy named TJ Russell. He's an ex-singer fabricator, and he put together this Baja kit, sort of the Safari 911, if you will. And he's going to be offering up a full bolt-on kit that you should be able to do. You know, someone competent should be able to do it in their garage. Very minimal fabrication needed. Maybe just some trimming of the body panels. But it's a pretty cool kit with suspension and body work and all kinds of stuff to kind of round this thing out, the wheels, tires, packages, and the off-road tires and whatnot. So right now, I guess they're just doing it in their shop in-house, which starts at about $135,000, includes, you know, the full installation, any tuning, painting, basically the full build. They send it back to you ready to go. But this is going to be available as a bolt-on package for you guys. But I believe they're also going to be able to be building these cars with several options, sort of Singer-esque. So if you want to just call them and go, hey, I want one of these cars, and go over the top and modified engine and 4-liter and big horsepower and the whole thing, you're probably in around the $400,000 mark. But if you have your 964 Series 911, you want to just send it to them and get the Safari package done on it, installed and out the door, it's about $135,000. Or you can order the Safari package and have it done, shipped to you, and you can do it at home. Excuse me. I don't know what that package is going to cost, but obviously less than the $135,000 that's installed and painted and whatever. If you guys look it up, it's JT Russell, or sorry, TJ Russell. If you look at TJ Russell, you'll see the images and stuff for this thing, and it's pretty cool, pretty badass. So I brought the SAC Mustang, the Shelby Automotive, Shelby American Automotive Club, the 92 Mustang that I got. Just as a reminder, it's just the SAC cars were always kind of interesting. When my early days in high school, the beginning of high school, before the 93 Cobra came out, I was living in Florida, and there was a guy, I forgot the guy's last name, cool guy. His name was Sam. He was a big Mustang collector, Shelby collector, just a sweetest guy out there. And I went to his garage once, and I saw this Wimbledon white with blue stripe 92 Mustang, and I was like, what is this? Like, what's going on here? And he explained what SAC was. He explained what that Shelby Club was and how they had this, like, manufacturing facility in Detroit, and they were working with Ford to build these cars, to do like a tuner version of these cars and brand it their own. And they were offering it up just to the Shelby Club members, just to the SAC members. And I think the plan was to do 250 cars over maybe 2 years. Originally, they were all just Wimbledon white with the blue stripe on it. And then the second year, I believe they had a black and a red in addition to the white. There was a handful of convertibles. And if I remember this correctly, there was only like three ever delivered with a Vortex supercharger on it. But it just had the full catalog, the Ford Motorsport catalog of parts on it. It had the GT40 tubular intake, the iron GT40 heads, the pulley kit, the Borla exhaust, Koni adjustable shocks, strut tower brace, four-wheel discs, different wheels. And then on the interior, they did a pretty cool job. They did custom leather. They changed the door panel pockets. You Fox Body Mustang guys know what I'm talking about. The pocket that with the Elastic. They kind of put like a pouch with a zipper, and they upgraded the stereo. And they put in a four-point roll bar that they wrapped in leather as well. So it was a very cool package. But the car wasn't inexpensive. It was like $42,000 when it came out. And it was originally just for SAC members, as we said, but sales were a little slow because of the price, I imagine, and they decided to open it up to anybody that wanted them, and that certainly helped a little bit. But then Ford came out with the Cobra, the Mustang Cobra, in 93, and it was very similar upgrades, right? It had, you know, now the Cobra intake based on a GT40, the heads, the pulleys, you know, some suspension changes and whatnot. It didn't have the full leather interior and stuff like all the upgrades that the SAC car had, but performance-wise, it was pretty close, and it was from the factory. And it was also nearly half the price. It was like $21,000. So that kind of killed the SAC car for that company. The plan to make 250 didn't work. They only made 65. And a little while ago, I was able to pick up number 50, and it's got less than 3,700 miles on it. So all I've really done with the car was I just brought it in and went through it and changed. I just wanted it to freshen it up and change all of the fluids on the car, from oil to transmission, diff, coolant, brake fluid, just everything on it. Go through, check all the fuses, make sure all the lights work, the radio works, speakers work, just like make sure it's all kind of dialed in and work. And I guess I'm not going to drive it that much, but, you know, I did get in it the other day and warmed it up and drove it around the block and, you know, topped it off with fuel and brought it in. Now, it's not fully detailed and clean. Like, the idea is I'm going to reach out to my friends at Chemical Guys. We're going to detail the thing out and maybe do a ceramic coating on it, really kind of make it look good. But before we get into that, I was talking about dry ice blasting. I brought it up a few times on the show, and I reached out to Ice Blast Works. They're out here in Southern California, in LA. They do have a location in Fullerton where you can bring your car, and they'll put it up on the lift and do it. But also, they are mobile. Now, the issue with mobile is it's a long process. It's very loud, and it can get a little messy depending on how dirty your car is. And if you really wanted to do the underside of the car, you're going to need a lift. So it's not to say you couldn't do it, but I just chose to bring the car there. I had it flatbedded over there, and they started on it, and I went over there to check the process. And it's quite fascinating what they do. So they have a machine that's, I don't know, about the size of a mini fridge, maybe the size of an air compressor, right? And it has a big tube on it and various nozzles that you can put on it. And the process looks like you're sandblasting, but it's just using it's basically using the dry ice to clean along with pressure. So you can increase the pressure and the temperature of it, the coldness. You could remove some paint and some rust and undercoating, or you can dial it back to clean some very sensitive areas. In theory, you could do the interior. You could do door panels or something. If you had very old kind of gooky door panels, you should be able to do all of that as well. So what I wanted to do on this car was do the underside of the car, do the full undercarriage, the suspension, the wheel wells, all of that, and work on the engine compartment without really touching the car with heavy cleaners and things like that. And by the way, if you clean your car again and again and again over the years, oftentimes you'll get a bit of like soap scum and build up, like especially underneath the car. If you shoot a lot of, you know, you shoot some soap and water underneath there, you know, with a hose while you're washing. You know, this car is pretty old. It's been done that way a few times, and there's quite a bit of soap scum and stuff. So I went there and I saw the process. It's very slow. It looks like it's being sandblasted. There's plenty of videos like on YouTube and stuff showing this process, but I'll post some photos and some video of what I saw while I was there up on my social media at Motorator. And it, the machine is loud. You know, so if you're doing it indoors, it's going to be a little tough. You definitely want ear protection to do it. And the slow process is kind of like sandblasting the nozzle, and you kind of just have to go in small lines again and again and again. So if you're doing the entire like undercarriage of a car and the engine of a car, you know, expect to spend about, I don't know, a couple of grand. It's probably around $2,400 to do the full underside, wheels off, and the engine compartment and the engine and all the little nooks and crannies of the engine that you can get. Firewall, shock towers, you know, as much as you can, and the lower intake manifold, you know, all the way down to the K member, and just get everything really, really cleaned up. What it does to aluminum is fascinating because it makes the aluminum look basically new. So we did the full underside of the car, and this is where the experience comes in. These guys are able to understand how much pressure and how close they need to be, and just, you know, like a good painter would do, to see how effective it need to be. And then I'll show you the photos. When you go back now and you look underneath the car, it was pretty clean to begin with that low of miles on the car. It was pretty clean. But to be able to go underneath there now and see just all of the details, all the original like paint marker, you know, paint pen notes and stuff from the factory, all there, all retained. The wheel wells are fantastic. In the wheel well, that's black plastic. It looks brand new. You can see the Ford part numbers in it. It's just an incredible process that I don't know why I'm so fascinated with it, but it's just it is just without getting everything from like soap scum and water spots and heavy cleaners and degreasers and things that might alter paint and all kinds of stuff. So it came out great. It looks great. I was there when they had finished up the undercarriage. They were just starting on the engine. So I'll post some more images of what the engine is going to look like. But it's an interesting process. Now, what I think what's going to happen is companies like Ice Blastworks, they're going to start offering lesser expensive options, I think, a little bit quicker way of doing things without the full cleaning or the full restoration process. So if you follow these guys on social media, they'll see they had a couple of Grand Nationals in recently, and they did a restoration on it. So they blasted the whole undercarriage of the car, and then they were able to go in and touch up paint, you know, grab some chassis black and touch up a few things. That's more of the restoration process. I didn't want to do that on this car because it is all original with all the original like paint pen marks and stuff that I talked about. But I just wanted to get a very, very good cleaning of the whole thing. So we did all of that and was able to like kind of polish up the mufflers. The car's got a Borla catback from the factory back in the day. Hit it with a little scuff pad, just get off, you know, there's a few hand touch items that you do to kind of finish off the cleaning process. So, but the thought is, hey, if you're selling your car, if you are bringing a car to auction or even just listing it on Bring a Trailer, it might be a pretty good investment to have the, let's just call it the, you know, I don't know, the Bring a Trailer blasting package. You know, I don't know if these guys have an official name for it yet. And I'm sure any ice blasting company has something kind of similar, but Ice Blast Works that I work with is going to be offering that kind of package, going, hey, listen, if you're bringing your car, if you're going to list your car on Bring a Trailer and you're looking for some decent money for it, maybe invest a little bit more and get it really, really detailed, especially because, you know, Bring a Trailer, we like to post like 100 photos and a lot of very detailed undercarriage photos. And when you see the pics that I have, it makes all the difference in the world. The car is just fantastic underneath there. Now I'm going to be afraid to drive it, but and I'm sure there's – they also have a process where you can ceramic coat the entire underside of the car, but it's ungodly expensive. I don't know. It's thousands and thousands of dollars, because when you ceramic coat the exterior of your car, it's just a light touch and you wipe it on and it doesn't – it uses ceramic, obviously, but not a ton of the of product, which is expensive. Underneath the car, you don't really wipe it on like that. You kind of spray it on, and you use a lot more product, so it's very expensive. I don't know if many people have done that yet, but I don't know. Listen, if you're that guy that just spent $143 million on that McLaren SLR Gullwing, most expensive car ever, then I don't know. Maybe you want to get that whole thing ceramic coated. You can dip that car in the ceramic coat. It's just a thought. It's an interesting process. So anyway, the next step is the car is going to be on its way back to me today. The underside is going to be done, and then I'm going to be chatting with chemical guys on how to get the paint in the right condition. Now, doing a paint correction is a thought. There's a little bit of the orange peel that's original, but I don't think there's a lot of paint on this car. And what I mean is the Shelby Club would buy a white GT from Ford back in 92, bring it to their facility, do the modifications, and then just scuff the car and give it a thin coat of Wimbledon white on top of it, and then do their vinyl stripe package on it. So I'm afraid if we cut into this paint too much, we're going to burn through that Wimbledon white and get down to the Ford white, and it's going to look a little discolored and blotchy area. So I think also you know, the thought of maybe, hey, let's just maybe kind of do the best we can, shoot a little more clear coat on the car, and then it's not really original anymore, and it is what it is. So I don't mind it having a little bit of orange peel in it. This isn't meant to be a better than factory show car. It's meant to be a highly preserved original show car, if you will. So we're just going to try to clean it up as best we can, polish it up as best we can. I think I'd like to do a ceramic coat on the exterior for it, see how that goes. I definitely don't want to change any of the vinyl graphics or anything. It all looks good. The vinyl looks brand new. Nothing's peeling. I don't know that you can even get those stickers. You'd have to reproduce them from scratch, and I just don't want to go down that road on an all-original car. So I don't know. Maybe you guys have thoughts if you're an expert in detailing and you have some thoughts on what could be done, or if you had something done to your car, something with a thin paint, right? Something where you want to try to preserve as much of the originality as possible. What would you do to it? I'd be curious to know. Anyway, so we're going to check that. We're going to check that out. There was a couple other things that happened. I know Chris recently went over to Gabriel Iglesias' shop, right? Over to Fluffy's shop.
I did.
And we've seen his collection like a few times on Leno. He's great, by the way. Met him briefly, but haven't had much of a conversation with him. He's crushing it in the comedy world.
Yeah, he just sold out Dodger Stadium.
Seriously, Dodger Stadium. I don't know if anybody else has done that.
No, they haven't. No comedians even headlined Dodger Stadium. They performed it. So he did it, and then he sold out. And he played two nights there.
That's fantastic. Yeah, congratulations to him.
45,000.
Yeah. And, you know, Kevin Hench, who's, you know, Adam's writing partner, a longtime friend. We had a couple of dinners with him. Yeah. He's worked a lot with Gabriel Iglesias. He did that show with him on, I think it was on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. Gabriel had a show on Netflix. And
an animated show, or did that go or not?
I don't know about the animated show, but I know he had that sitcom.
Yeah.
That Kevin Hench
show.
Like,
he was like a school runner. Teacher or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. And Hench was always like, Fluffy's the best. Like, he's just the nicest guy.
He really is.
He's just kind of the sweetest guy. So, first of all, why did you go there? You went to his car collection. You went to his place.
Yeah, well, we booked him for the Adam Carolla show. We were talking, and he lives in Long Beach. And I said, I live in Long Beach, too. And he just invited me over. And he invited me to check it out. And I went the Monday after Dodger Stadium show. So
he was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty good. And I thought, I know he has a really big VW bus collection. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
And they're pristine. And he's like, he's the guy for VW buses, as like Adam is for Paul Newman race cars. So I said, okay, I'll go. I brought Gary with me from over here. And then another friend of mine, Eddie, who loves VW buses, and he actually works on VW buses. He owns a shop and works on them. So I said, okay, he'll appreciate going to this collection too. So I brought him, and we went and he has a 1965 VW ambulance that he got from overseas that was a lot taller than the buses. You can actually like stand all the way up in them.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, they're high roofs. And so we drove that over there, and we got there, his team was there. So what's interesting about his compound is he does all of his merch out of there. He fulfills all of his merch orders out of there. So we go there, and they're just shipping containers full of T-shirts, Funko action figures, and everything. And they do his team just fulfills. And that's how he makes pretty much all of his money, I think. Well, other than ticket sales, is he's always just fulfilling.
So
his
he's
merch
got
sales.
He's got his car collection there, but there's a business being run out of that place.
Absolutely,
right? He's got a big business going. Big business.
There are conference rooms. There's studio. There's a ton of places there. And we're going.
How much space do you think he has? What kind of square footage do you think is going on over there?
It's about as maybe a little bit bigger than Adam's Car Museum warehouse. So I don't know what.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's got 10,000 square feet.
More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was like 18.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's quite a bit bigger.
Yeah.
It's
a very good size. So we go there, and Gabriel's sister surprised him from out of town. So they were out to lunch when we got there. So we didn't see him.
Okay.
But we still got the tours. Guys gave us a tour and everything, and met his dogs and just hung out there for a little bit. And then we decided to head out, and then they saw the ambulance that we came in. So they were taking pictures, and his team was really, really stoked on the ambulance. And then we left. And then about 10 minutes after we leave, we get frantic phone calls from his team. Like, Gabriel just got here and he wants to see the ambulance. Is there any way you can turn around? And so we turned around and went back and hung out for a little bit longer. But his collection, he drives all of them. He takes them all out. They're all being worked on. They're all ready to go. Like, if he wants to hop in any of those VW buses, he can. He also has like a muscle car alley. So he's like a Trans Am and a Dodge Hellcat and all of that stuff. So he likes the muscle cars too, but mainly the VW buses, and he's starting to get into bugs as well. And it's a really, really clean place. He just drives them. He teaches his staff how to drive stick in those buses. Like, he takes them out to parking lots, and they all had to learn. And he just is a big fan of those cars. He really, really loves them.
Are they working on cars there, or did this team say anything about like who does the work for
them?
They
definitely have a certain mechanic or two that they take them out to work on them. That's just a showcase for the buses. There's definitely no wrenching going on at his place.
Right.
What's interesting is his team says he wants that place to be a museum when he goes. Like, he already knows, I want this to be the bus place. I want this place to turn into a museum when I'm dead.
Yeah.
And he wants, he was really inspired by Leno when he made the place. Like, Leno told him, don't make it all closed off. Like, make your gates kind of open and you can see inside, and don't make it look too private, because otherwise it's going to attract a lot more attention. And he goes to Leno's shop all the time. He's been on Leno's garage a bunch. So yeah, Leno definitely inspired him to, to put that place together.
I think Leno's been to his place too, because I think they walked around and filmed some stuff there. And why not? Leno gets so fascinated with all of these things, especially the stories behind why he was collecting them. I'm curious, and I'm sure others have heard this story. I just not too familiar with it. Why collect the VW buses? Like, what happened in his childhood that made him fall in love with these things? Some people love Porsches. Some people love Mustangs. Some people grow up with, you know, certain muscle cars or trucks or something. And I'm just curious, like, if anybody knows why the VW bus.
We'll have to ask him.
We got to ask him. We're going to have to get him on CarCast now to talk about it. I am just
curious. Let's go over there. We'll record an episode.
I'd love to go over there and record an episode over there, but or just have him zoom in and just kind of get into like why the VW bus is. It must have been just something he discovered as a kid or grew up with as a kid. It's funny because people ask all the time, like, oh, you know, you're a car guy. Like, what made you get into cars? And I tell people, I go, it always starts when you're young. It's never really one of those things where you're like, oh, I was 35 years old and I saw this car one day and all of a sudden I started falling in love with cars. It's just one of these things that you cars is like one of these things that you kind of fall in love with as a kid.
Yeah, yours would be Mustangs, right?
For me,
it pretty much is that now.
It was the Mustangs, and now that I can afford a few, I could get a few. But I don't know. I think it's kind of like being artistic in a way, like, you know, like you probably fell in love with music at a young age, and I don't know when you started to learn to play or sing, but it probably got your attention at a young age. And then maybe you kind of honed your skills.
Oh yeah.
You know, like you don't have to be a racing car driver at 5 years old to appreciate cars. Maybe that is something that you do later in life, but I don't know. It's just not a lot of people that are like, hey, I'm 35 years old and I'm a graphic designer, you know, at a print shop, and I just decided I'm going to be a musician. So I'm going to go and learn guitar and start playing it. And in a couple of years, maybe I'll start a band. Like, nobody at 35 is really doing that. Yeah. I don't think. I mean, if you are, good for you. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like maybe.
Yeah, there's something kind of ingrained in you.
Yeah, right?
Just kind of comes out. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like an interesting place. He's got to be from Long Beach, right? I was like, why would he be in Long Beach?
Yeah, he went to high school there, everything.
Yeah, so it's his hometown. He's like,
he has a Long Beach mural in there. Like, he had a Long Beach mural painted in there.
Yeah, he probably lives
there. He has pictures of Goldberg all over the place. He's a huge, huge WWE fan. So if Goldberg's in town, we'll all
go. Is he really?
Oh, my God.
But Goldberg specifically? That's.
Well, he a ton of wrestlers, but Goldberg definitely has. He has like a signed picture of Goldberg in there, like hung up.
All right, well, that's
like, I'm not kidding. He is a nerd, like, about that. He is whole walls dedicated to wrestling and Marvel movies. Like, loves Marvel as well. But he's a fanboy. Like,
he's a fanboy.
And it basically, that's his man cave, and that's just like, this is what I always pictured my childhood bedroom to be, and I finally get to have it.
I get to do it, an 18,000 square foot bedroom. Yeah. You know, is also fascinating that way is Jeff Dunham. Dunham's a fanboy. He loves Batman. I think on his wedding cake, the bride and the groom up on the top were just like Batman and Batwoman or something. Like, he was very, very comic bookish kind of thing. And he collects old Apple computers.
Yeah.
He's got like a little museum of like the Lisa, the Mac 2 and E and he's like on display in one of his garages, and a car collector, right? He's got a car collector. I just spoke with him recently. He's got the new Hummer EV. He's got like VIN 1 or 2 or 5 or something early on, which he loves. He builds and flies, Jeff Dunham, his own helicopters.
Yeah.
Right? So he builds the helicopters and then they get sent out to be like fully inspected, like teching a race car, and does that. But the puppets, the dummies that he has, inside of those things are some controls and like a computer chip, like a board in there, and it controls like eye movements and stuff all electronically. It's not all super manual. And he makes and solders the programs, the boards himself. And he 3D prints the puppets, the heads.
Yeah.
And then he hand paints them all.
Guys just want to nerd out.
Yeah, right?
That's kind of what I've learned.
But what I love about these guys is these guys took something that they loved and they were passionate about, like when they were kids, like you said, being fanboys, and have now turned it into super successful careers. These guys are literally like, I'm going to take my hobby and I'm going to see if I can make $20 million a year doing it. Yeah. And they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're crushing it.
It's working out for them.
Chris, we need to do something else.
I know.
we need to change things up a little bit. My dream as a kid was not to do a podcast.
Ah.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, I enjoy doing the podcast.
Yeah. I know I shouldn't have sold all those Beanie Babies.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, well, I love that. I appreciate it. I got to definitely go down and check out his place at some point.
It's an open invite all the time. And if Bill goes, oh my God.
The place will be nuts. So yeah. We should try to get Fluffy to zoom in with us with Bill.
That'd be cool.
As well. Let those guys go at it for a minute. All right. So listen, we're kind of running out of time here. So follow me at Moderator on social media. Facebook and Instagram are probably the best places. And I'll get some pictures up of the ice blasting process, the kind of the before and after stuff. I'll do a few posts so I can get some video and stuff up there. So hopefully you guys will dig that process. You know, again, not cheap, but I think it's totally worth it. If you're going to be selling a car, especially going through, you know, the hundreds of photos that you're going to do on Bring a Trailer, this is kind of something you might want to take a look at. I think it'll really pay off in the end. So yeah, what do you say? We wrap it up?
I think so.
All right, let's wrap it up. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.